Herbs, Songs of Freedom is a new film that celebrates the life and music of legendary Kiwi reggae band Herbs through interviews, jams and memories as some of the band's past and present members reunite for a birthday reunion concert. It's been 40-odd years since the formation of the band in the heat of the 1970s Dawn Raids and Bastion Point occupation. Not just a band, but also social activists through their music, including a classic anti-nuclear anthem such as Nuclear Waste and French Letter. Founding member of the much-loved Herbs, Tony Fonuti, joins me now on the phone. And thank you so much for joining us this morning, Tony. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Tony, tell us more about this new film coming out, Herbs Songs of Freedom.
This film is going to amaze people. People that are younger, they will get an education of a history that is still relevant today. And for the older people, it's a memory down. It's a walk down memory lane, capturing the times when people stood together, especially as Māori, Pākehā, and Pacific people, standing as one voice and using the music to inspire with our brothers and sisters to stand together.
When you look back over, 40 years in the history and the impact that the band has had, what are your thoughts?
I would say my thoughts are there is a higher power involved in this, because it's just so amazing that, to get a group of people together and for that group of people to still continue today, thanks to Deal With Karaka, to hold that together and to still see the relevance.
The film, how did it come about, the idea, and how did you get involved with the project?
Te Arapa, he loved the first album, What's Be Happened, and he thought that it was time to put a film together, because Te Arapa, he only does movies that are really important to him, like Poye and Merita. And so he thought that this movie needs to get out. People need to know the history of Herbs, need to know the lyrics, need to know the issues that were happening at the time and put them together on film.
Now, we look back over 40 years. I understand there's been so many different members from when you first formed the band. When you're putting something like this together, how difficult was it in terms of bringing all the, past and present members together?
Yeah.
And just like with any family, of course, Tony, you have your ups and downs, and it's not all a bed of roses?
Yes, exactly. It was difficult for sure, because Te Arapa was even offered more funding to make the movie longer, but he said, well, he did add like a minute or two, but he said that it wasn't really a matter of adding, it was really a matter of what to leave out.
When you look at some of the music, as I mentioned in the introduction, Tony, with regards to Nuclear Waste and French Letter, and then you see what's happening in Ihu Mātau, and Mauna Kea over in Hawaii, the struggle still continues?
It still continues. It's the same issue. I always look at it as bullying, because, at school, a bully is a person who thinks they have more power over someone else, and they stand over them, and the person that is being bullied will stand up. And if they can't stand up by themselves, other people will stand with them and they become stronger.
For yourself, how was it? I understand that in terms of, founding the band, and then you went through your own personal journey and moving over to Australia. And how was it for you coming back and reconnecting, especially with the original members?
Oh, it was amazing. Just to reconnect with the original members, to see that we all stand as one. And even though I started the band, when you go through all the 31 members, we stand together as one. It couldn't have been done. This movie could not have been done with all the members involved and all the people, the tangata whenua, standing with us together.
Some of the highlights for yourself?
Highlights for myself is meeting the people after the movie. And just there's usually a kind of a silence, because it's very emotional, even though there's a lot of laughter and tears, because it just brings back people back to the issues, and it brings them back to a time when they were younger, and it brings them back to the music, which is the thread that connects everything together.
looking back over, you know, the 40 or so years, Tony, did you think that the band would have, you know, the impact that it has had on the, you know, New Zealand musical landscape, and then, you know, inspiring new generation, like, you know, House of Shem, when you look at people like Shay Fu and his dad, you know, Tingi Ness, and the involvement with him in the early days?
Yep. No, I did not know it would do that. I really believed that it was a great album, and I just thought it was great for that time. But I've met so many musicians, so many people who have said that they were brought up on it, they were influenced, and even if they never heard the album, they heard their parents playing it and they were influenced by it.
And how does that make you feel when, you know, people coming up to you on the street and they're like, oh, you know, you guys had such a influence on me, and I loved listening to you in the garage all those years ago?
Oh, I love it. It's funny because Te Arapa, he emailed me 2 years ago to be involved, and I said no. I said it's not relevant. It's something in my past. And he tried three times, and he finally convinced me to come over, and I am just so thankful. You can't shut me up about the movie. You know, before I'm saying no, and now I'm just going around being an evangelist and an advocate of the movie and telling people to go see it, because it's really difficult to explain that period in 40 years. But if you go see the movie, you'll understand.
Mm. And when we talked about your own personal journey, Tony, you know, earlier on in the piece, a real fascination and, you know, around Rastafarianism. Can you talk to me a little bit more about that?
Yes, I can. Because I was influenced to become a messenger through Bob Marley, I'd listened to Bob Marley a lot, really got into the philosophy, but knew nothing about it, didn't want to join a cult or anything like that. So I started to look deeply into it, and eventually I went to Jamaica, found out that it connected with me personally, and then came back and decided I need to leave the band and find other people like me, and that was the beginning of the 12 Tribes of Israel.
Wow. And so, you know, the impact that that had on the band, I mean, when you left, and how was that in terms of your relationship with the other members?
Well, you know, I caught up with Bill probably like 10 years later after I had left, and I thought he might be a little bit angry or whatever. And he said to me that two things happened. First of all, he just respected that I stayed true to my heart and I did what I had to do. And secondly, it made the band go within themselves and start to create their own songs and to carry on the legacy.
Now, very unique back in the early 80s in terms of a Kiwi, reggae, but also the fact made up of, you know, Māori and Pacific Islanders.
Exactly, yeah. That was always intentional, you know, just wanting to be authentic. And so we don't want to do a Jamaican-style reggae. And to have a band together to be true and authentic, it is. We should have Pākehā, Māori and Pacific people together. That's the most authentic lineup you could have. I didn't want an all Samoan band or Māori band, so to speak. So that's how that came about.
And once again, you after watching the movie and in terms of the how it made you feel,
I'd say in a word, gratitude and. And seeing the awe of people, because it touches so many areas, and being able to meet them, I love that. And being able to say thank you for coming to see the film, and they are saying thank you in return for having seen the film and being part of the experience.
And with that, it's a very big thank you, Whaftai Tele Lava, Tony, for your time this morning.
We
really appreciate it, and all the very best for your ongoing journey. Thank you.
Thank you.